This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill
from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
That it is, and we are on the 20th of April, 2023, with the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. It's the last hearing of the week as they've decided to take Friday off. Let's go to our first segment in the courtroom.
All right, good morning. We're back on the record on KCR 22-21-1624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. This is a continuing time of jury trial. The state's still in its case in chief at this time. When we concluded yesterday, we finished with a witness. The court would note that I've been advised all the jurors are again present today and all have completed their juror affirmation. Is that correct, Mr. Bailiff?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you for that information. Apologies for the late start this morning. I was meeting with counsel in chambers discussing some scheduling issues and other matters that came up, which we'll take up later today. I'll note on the record that the prosecution is here, all present. The defense, as well as the defendant, are present as well. And I believe we're ready to have the jurors brought in and have the state call its next witness. Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, is the defense ready to proceed?
Yes.
Okay. We'll have the jurors brought in then, and we'll have a next witness. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. Okay, we are on the record on KCR 22-21-1624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. The case in chief is continuing by the state. The jurors are all present, accounted for, and properly seated. To the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, thank you again for your continued service in this case and for all completing your juror affirmation this morning. We very much appreciate your continued compliance with the admonishments given each day when you go home. With that in mind, I believe the state's got another witness they're prepared to call at this time. Who will be examining the witness?
I will be, Your Honor.
All right, Ms. Blake, who will your next witness be?
Detective Nathan Moffitt.
All right, thank you. All right, Detective Moffitt, before we get started, I just wanted to inquire, have you in any way viewed any of the trial testimony while this case has been proceeding?
No, sir.
All right, not through any internet viewing, reading anywhere, watching any videos of the trial?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you for your response. I'll just let you know while you're on the stand, of course, we're making a record of the proceedings with the court reporter, so please answer all questions verbally. Also, try to avoid speaking at the same time as anyone that's asking you a question so the record stays clear. With those rules in mind then, Ms. Blake, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please state your name and spell your last name for the record?
Sergeant Nathan Moffitt, M-O, F as in Frank, F as in Frank, A, T as in Tom.
Where are you currently employed?
The Chandler Police Department in Arizona.
How long have you been employed with them?
I've been with Chandler Police Department for about 21 years.
And your current title is Sergeant?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you held other positions within the department?
I have.
And what are some of those positions?
So I spent, obviously, started as an officer with a previous agency, but when I came to Chandler, I spent about 5 years on patrol, and then I went to criminal investigations as a detective, where I was there for about 14 and a half years prior to getting promoted to sergeant.
Do you have any specialized training in order to be a law enforcement officer?
Yes. In 1999, I attended the Arizona Law Enforcement Academy and graduated and became a sworn police officer.
And since then, have you attended additional training as a detective?
I have.
Were you working on July 11th of 2019?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you recall responding to the report of a shooting?
I did. Yeah, I do.
Your Honor, I'm going to just make sure the record's clear. I've objected to this witness previously under Rule 404B of the Idaho Rules of Evidence that anything that happened in Arizona is not relevant for this proceeding in Idaho.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Archibald. The court notes the continuing objection to evidence relating to what occurred in Arizona. The court previously made a ruling on that issue in February, and for the reasons incorporated in that ruling, I'll overrule this objection, noting the jurors have been previously also instructed about the limiting nature of this evidence and will be instructed also before their deliberations with an explicit instruction describing how this evidence could be considered. So with that, the objection's overruled, and Ms. Blake, you can continue with your examination.
Thank you, Your Honor. Detective Moffitt, are you aware of who reported that shooting?
Yeah, a 911 call came in from the residence from Alexander Alex Cox.
Do you recall where you responded to?
Yeah, it was 5531. The street numbers or the streets escaping me.
South Four Peaks Drive.
Yeah, South Four Peaks Drive. I'm sorry.
And that was in Chandler, Arizona?
Yes, ma'am.
When you arrived on scene, were other officers already present?
Yeah, patrol officers were already on scene when I arrived there.
And is that fairly common to have patrol officers there before detectives?
Yeah, very common.
When you arrived, did you take on a specific role with regards to the investigation?
Yeah, I was assigned role as the case agent.
And is that common practice?
Yes. Yeah. On every case like this, we have a case agent and a scene agent.
As the case agent, did you walk through the scene?
I did. I was briefly briefed by patrol, for their initial investigation or their initial interviews, kind of what they had at the time. I briefly walked through the scene and then I responded back to the station.
When you were on scene, do you recall seeing Ms. Vallow or Lori Vallow present?
I did not see Lori present.
Did you see Alex Cox present?
I did.
Did you speak with him on scene?
I did not.
Did you observe Charles Vallow?
I did.
And what did you observe about Charles Vallow?
When I briefly walked into the residence, Charles was deceased on the living room floor.
Did you end up conducting an interview with Alex Cox?
I did, yeah, back at our station.
Is that common to interview individuals back at the station?
Yes.
Did Alex, in fact, participate in the interview?
He did.
Did Alex tell you why he was there that morning?
Yeah, in his interview, he told me that he had spent the night at Lori's house because they planned on doing something the next day.
So he would have spent the night of the 10th?
Yes, the 10th into the 11th. Yes, ma'am.
And did he tell you what happened with regard to Charles getting shot?
Yeah, when we started talking about it, he said that Charles and Lori were in an argument inside the house, and he was back in a bedroom, and he could hear Lori and Charles arguing, and Lori came into his room, and he basically said he intervened between Lori and Charles.
Did he indicate if he knew what the fight or what the disagreement was about?
No, he just said they were arguing.
Did he indicate that he ever saw Charles put hands on Lori?
No.
And did he indicate that he did not see that?
Yeah, he indicated they did not get physical. He never saw it get physical. It was just argument with Charles following Lori through the house.
Did he say anything about Tylee?
Yeah, he said that when the argument had worked its way into the bedroom where he was at, Lori basically circled around behind him and he got between Lori and Charles. And he said that Lori came back around him and made her way into the living room or into the kitchen. The living room and the kitchen were divided by a wall. And that at that point in time, Tylee came out of her room when Lori was back in the kitchen.
Did he tell you why or how he ended up shooting Charles?
Yeah, he said that when Tylee came out of her bedroom, Tylee came out of the bedroom with a bat and was basically trying to protect, what he was saying is protect her mother, and that at one point in time, Tylee took the bat and kind of poked it out at him. He said at that time, Charles took the bat, and then there was an argument over the bat, and at some point in time, he said he got struck. He being Alex got struck by Charles with the bat in the back of his head.
So he described Tylee as having the bat towards Charles pointed out at him?
Yeah, he kind of demonstrated poking it out towards him.
And that Charles had then grabbed a hold of the bat from Tylee?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you observe any injury to Alex consistent with being hit with a baseball bat?
I observed a small laceration on the back of his head. It was a laceration, but it wasn't consistent with being hit extremely hard in the back of the head with a baseball bat by an athletic man.
And have you responded out to battery cases where people have been hit by objects?
Yes, ma'am.
Was it consistent with what you've seen before?
Not with a violent strike.
Did Alex indicate, what did Alex indicate he had done after he shot Charles?
So Alex basically says that the argument happens, he gets hit in the head with a bat, and he goes back to his room and retrieves a gun, and that he came back out into the living room to confront Charles because he was still in the house with the bat. Alex says he told Charles to drop the bat. Charles said, what are you going to do about it? And at that point, Alex says he came at him, and then Charles shot him.
You said Charles shot him.
Alex shot Charles.
And Alex claims Charles came at Alex.
Yes.
And at that point, did Alex tell you how many times he had shot Charles?
He said he was not sure, but he said it was more than once.
Did he tell you where he thought he had shot him on Charles' person?
Yeah, he said center mass, so torso area.
Did you ultimately determine that Charles had been shot center mass?
Yes, Charles had two gunshot wounds, one to the chest, one to the lower abdomen.
And after Alex had shot Charles, did he tell you what he then did?
Yeah, after he shot Charles, he said he walked into the kitchen, washed his hands, because he said he had blood on his hands from his head, and then walked back into his bedroom, set the gun down, and then called 911.
Did he tell you anything about where Lori and Tylee were when he shot Charles?
He said he didn't know. He didn't know where they were at.
Did he indicate that they were in the room with him?
I asked a couple different ways, and he just said, I don't know where they were at at the time of the shooting.
Did Alex indicate anything to you with regard to performing life-saving measures?
I asked if he performed CPR because when he called 911, they asked him to, and he said he had.
Did you ask Alex if he was there to help Lori?
I did. So when I was conducting my interview with Alex, we took a break for a minute. I stepped out because Detective Inklin was interviewing Lori and Tylee. And when I talked quickly to Detective Inklin, who said that Lori asked Alex to stay the night at the house because he was there, because she wanted him to be there to protect him from Charles. And so I went back in and asked Alex, actually on more than one occasion, if he had been there, in fact, to protect Lori from Charles. And he adamantly, he said, no, he said multiple times, that's not the case.
But Lori had indicated that he had stayed there to protect her.
Yeah, according to Detective Inklin, that's what Lori said.
Did you ask Alex if he had called anyone else before he called 911?
I did. When I was briefed by Detective Inklin about what her interviews kind of had revealed, she told me that Lori told her...
I'm going to object, Your Honor, to hearsay.
That's sustained.
Is it common that, as the case agent, you speak with other detectives?
Yes.
And do you speak with other detectives about the portions of the investigation that they are conducting?
Yes.
And did you, in fact, speak with Detective Inklin regarding what she had learned from an interview with Ms. Vallow?
I did.
Based on what she had learned from the interview, did you ask Alex whether or not he had called anyone?
I did.
And what did he tell you?
He said he had not.
Was it your understanding that that was inconsistent with what Lori had stated?
It was.
I'll object. The only way he can answer that is based upon hearsay.
And, Your Honor, it's not being offered for the truth of the matter.
If it's not the truth, then it's not relevant.
I'll sustain the objection.
Did you at some point observe, make additional observations of the scene?
I did.
And did you specifically make observations regarding the scene where Charles was found?
I did, yes.
What observations did you make?
When we were back at the house after we completed our interviews, Detective Coons was processing the scene. I was present while they were processing the scene for evidence. We learned that there was, in fact, two gunshot wounds to Charles. One of the wounds, the exit or the trajectory, was down, and we pulled that projectile.
And I'm going to object, Your Honor. This testimony is based upon hearsay. He learned it from someone else.
Your Honor, I believe he's talking about his observations of the scene. I think there were other detectives there that he's referencing, if I could clarify that.
If you'll clarify, I didn't see the hearsay in that. Go ahead and clarify, Ms. Blake, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. Detective Moffitt, did you go back and make observations at the scene?
Yes, I did.
And were there other detectives present when you were making the observations?
There were.
And so I think you were talking about looking at the exit wound.
Tell
us what you observed.
We were looking at basically the evidence at the residence. As I was saying, there was one bullet strike that landed in the baseboard. And then there was another bullet strike under Charles's body.
And did you notice bullet strikes anywhere else in the residence?
No, besides those two, there were none.
The bullet strike under his body, did that lead you to believe anything regarding the position of Charles' body when he was shot?
Yeah, the bullet...
I'll object, Your Honor, speculation.
Your Honor, I think he can answer what he believed.
I think a little additional foundation would be necessary in regards to training before he could give that opinion. Sustain the objection on those grounds for now.
How long were you a homicide detective?
I did 11 and a half years in homicide and 3 years in family crimes before that.
Have you responded out to gunshots before?
Yes, several.
Have you observed bodies that have been shot before?
Several.
Have you done trainings on bullet wounds, things of that nature?
I have. I'm currently assigned to the Executive Board of Directors for the Arizona Homicide Investigators Association. Have been for 11 years. We conduct about 100 hours of training a year. So I have hundreds and hundreds of hours of training in homicide and related items.
And based on your training and experience, based on that mark in the floor, where did you believe Charles' body was when he was shot?
Yeah, my observations from where Charles was shot, especially when we rolled him and saw the strike underneath him, is the wound to his abdomen was what is called a short gunshot wound. So the wound to his abdomen traveled through his abdomen and out of his shoulder and was consistent with Charles being flat on the floor when that projectile exited his body out of his shoulder.
And was that consistent with what Alex Cox reported?
It was not.
Were you involved in transporting Lori Vallow back to the residence?
I was.
Did you make observations of Lori on the way back?
Yes, I did.
And what were those?
I'll object, Your Honor. Relevance?
That's overruled.
Detective Inklin and I transported Tylee, Lori, and Alex back from the station to the residence while we were still processing the scene, so they could get a car and go somewhere else or stay on scene outside of the scene or stay at the residence outside of the scene. So Detective Inklin was driving. Tylee was in the front seat. We were in a minivan, so I was in the far back of the minivan, and Lori and Alex were sitting basically in the middle row. The ride back from the station was bizarre. To say the least, it was very lighthearted, very just conversationalist. It was, like I said, it was very different but bizarre.
At some point, did you, in your let me ask this. Did you continue as the case agent?
I did.
At some point, did you switch and you were no longer the case agent?
Yeah, once I was promoted to sergeant in June of 2020, I was no longer assigned to homicide, and it needed to stay with the homicide detective as I was going back to patrol. So Detective Duncan took over as case agent for me.
So, and that was based on your promotion?
Yes, ma'am.
And Detective Duncan had been involved from the initial part of the investigation?
He had, since the day of the incident.
And prior to you being switched as the case agent, did you learn anything with regard to an insurance policy?
I did on July.
Check, Your Honor, based upon hearsay.
I'll sustain that.
And, Your Honor, I would indicate it's not being offered for the truth of the matter, but for what was done next in the investigation.
Well, I guess the objection's being sustained because it was a question of did he learn anything, and I didn't see a foundation of how he personally would have had that information unless it was revealed through hearsay of another, was the basis of, I think, the objection and how I ruled.
Can we have just a moment?
Yes.
Detective Moffitt, in your experience as a homicide detective, are finances oftentimes a motive for homicide?
They can be, yes.
And based on that, do you, as part of investigations, do you look into life insurance?
We do.
Did you, in fact, in this case, look into whether or not Charles Vallow had life insurance?
I did.
Did you learn whether or not he did have life insurance on himself?
He did. He had a $1 million policy.
At some point, did you learn who the beneficiary was?
I did.
And who was that?
Well, when I contacted the insurance company, there was some confusion because there was had been a recent change of who the beneficiary was. So initially, they weren't sure. It had been changed from Lori to Kay, Charles's sister, at a point in time a couple months prior to this event. And their legal department was reviewing the forms at the time.
Do you look into whether or not anyone attempts to make a claim shortly after someone's deceased?
Yes.
Did someone attempt to make a claim?
Yeah, when I contacted the insurance company on July...
I'll object, John, or hearsay.
Overruled. You can continue to answer.
Thank you, sir. On July 17th, I believe it was on or around July 17th, I contacted the insurance company, and Lori had tried to file a claim on that $1 million policy.
Did you learn whether or not that claim was paid out?
I later did, and it was not paid out to Lori.
Okay, just one moment. I have no further questions at this time, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Mr. Archibald, will you be conducting cross?
Your Honor, I've previously objected to this testimony as in its entirety, so I don't have any questions.
All right. That'll conclude then the testimony of the witness. May the witness be excused or released from any subpoena?
Yes, Your Honor. I would ask that the witness be released.
Any objection?
No objection.
All right. Thank you for your testimony this morning. You can be released. And the state can call its next witness.
Thank you. The state calls Sydney Woodbury Shank.
Thank you.
All right, before you inquire, Mr. Wood, I just have a question or two for the witness here. Prior to coming in today, have you observed any of the trial testimony in this case in any way?
No.
Okay, thanks for that response. In your examination here, we are making a court record, so please make verbal responses to any questions, and please try to avoid speaking at the same time as anyone questioning you, so the record stays clear. With that in mind, then, Mr. Wood, you can inquire on direct.
Ms. Shank, can you state your name and spell your last name? Yes, my name is Sydney Shank. S-C-H-E-N-K. I am 26 years old.
Now, where do you currently reside?
I currently live in Arizona.
Whatever time you lived in
Mexico. Sorry, I just realized the mic wasn't on.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wood.
Do I need to repeat those questions, or... do you have me on the record?
Did we get it on FDR? I think there's enough to pick it up on the FDR. Mr. Wood and the reporter got it, apparently.
All right. Was there ever a time that you lived in Rexburg, Idaho?
Yes.
When was that?
It was back in 2019.
Okay. And what were you doing in Rexburg, Idaho?
I was attending BYU Idaho.
Were you working at the time?
I was not.
Okay. Were you, excuse me, were you looking for work?
Yes, I was.
Okay. How were you going about doing that?
I had always nannied and babysat in the past. So I went on a website called care.com where you can place a job listing for nannying or cleaning services or senior care. Like nursing stuff, and I had placed a listing to be a nanny.
Okay. Through that listing,
I want to make sure we get this. If you can kind of talk right into that mic, they're not that sensitive, so we'll make sure to get all your testimony. Thank you.
Through your listing on care.com, did you ever meet a Lori Vallow?
I did. She had replied to my listing looking for help with her son, JJ.
Okay. So you met her through the listing. How did you communicate?
We had messaged through the app and then later continued talking through text messaging because it was easier.
Okay. So you exchanged numbers?
Yes.
Did you keep those messages?
I didn't.
Okay. After messaging with Ms. Vallow, did you ever meet her?
I did. We had discussed a time for me to come kind of do an interview and see if I was a good fit for them. She had mentioned that JJ had some special needs and that he had autism, and so he required... just extra help and wanted to make sure that I was a good fit.
Okay. When did you meet her?
I met with her on Wednesday, September 18th, 2019.
Okay. Where did you meet her?
I met with her at her townhome in Rexburg.
Okay. How did that interview go?
It went well. I arrived at her home and she greeted me warmly, gave me a hug, and introduced me to JJ and sort of told me about their life and that they had recently moved to Rexburg from Arizona, and that JJ had some tendencies that he could get emotional easily, distracted, frustrated, and has trouble communicating with others, and that if you gave him a direct, command and looked him in the eyes, that he would listen better.
Okay. While you were there, did she say anything about her husband, Charles Vallow?
She did. She had mentioned that he had just recently died of a heart attack, and that that JJ was kind of having a hard time, like, understanding what had happened.
Okay. So you testified that she told you about JJ and that he had some special needs. While you were there, did you see a teenage girl?
I did not.
Did she tell you anything about a daughter?
She did. She said she had a daughter that also lived in Rexburg and was attending college, and that sometimes she would come to visit them for dinner or to do laundry, but that her daughter didn't like to babysit without being paid, and that's why she needed me to come and help.
Okay. Through your interview, did she hire you to watch JJ?
Yes, she did. We had discussed a time for me to come the next day.
Okay. Really quickly, I'm going to take you back for just 1 second. When you spoke with her about her daughter, did she say which school her daughter was attending?
She did not.
Okay. Did she say college?
From what I remember, yes.
Okay. So she hired you to watch JJ?
Yes.
Did you ever have a chance to watch JJ?
I did. The following day, on the 19th, I went to their town home after I had finished my school that day and watched him for a few hours while she had to go to the airport to pick up a friend.
Okay. Did she give you any instructions for, any special instructions for JJ that day?
Yeah, she did. She talked about kind of what to feed him, what things he likes to do for fun, that I could take him to go play at Gravity Factory, which is like a trampoline park, and that if she got home later, I could give him his medication that helps him fall asleep faster.
Okay. What do you remember about watching JJ that day?
I remember it went pretty well. He just played outside with the neighbor friends and kids for a while. I brought him in to feed him dinner, and then he went back out to play at their house. So I went back to her townhome and waited and kind of cleaned, and then I went to go pick him up, and JJ and his friend had gotten in some sort of dispute over not sharing toys, and so I had him come home. And when he came home, he was very upset and sad that his friend didn't want to play with him anymore. He got pretty angry and, like, threw the ottoman and threw, like, a chair, and I tried to calm him down best I could, but eventually he ran upstairs and just kind of wanted to be alone and hide. So I let him stay upstairs for a while, hoping that he would calm down, but he didn't.
Okay. Did you have any other contact with Lori Vallow that night?
I did. So when she came home, he was still pretty upset, and I kind of explained to her what had happened with the friend, and she calmed him down, and her brother was there, and her friend was there now, and she had paid me in cash, and we didn't really talk much about another time to babysit just because of the situation that happened with JJ, so she paid me and I left.
Okay. Did you believe that you would be watching JJ again?
Yes, it was sort of an unspoken knowledge that I was gonna work full time, like that he would need nearly daily assistance. Okay. And babysitting. So
did you have any further communications with Lori?
I did. So a few days had passed after that, and I had texted her wondering when I could come work again, and she responded that JJ had gone to his grandparents for a month and that she was in Hawaii for a month, and that after that month had passed, I could message her again and talk about a time to come back and babysit.
So she said JJ was with his grandparents and he would be for a month.
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever try to contact Lori Vallow again?
I did. So that month had passed, and I reached out again, and she never communicated back with me again after that.
Okay. Did you ever see J.J. Vallow after September 19th?
No, I did not.
Okay. Your Honor, at this time, the state has no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wood. Cross-examination.
So just briefly, to follow up, on September 18th, when you met Lori at her home, was JJ also there?
Yes, he was.
And so you were able to observe his demeanor and his personality?
Yes.
And then when she was talking to you about him, and she was planning on having you work for her long term, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
And was there a schedule, like every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, a plan like that?
Not that I remember, no.
Okay. And so it was just that you'd be called frequently as the need arose.
Yes.
And because you were a student, your schedule was flexible.
Yes.
And so you agreed to be able to provide assistance as the need arose.
Yes, that's correct.
Was it daytime, evening that you had time available?
It just depended on when my classes were. I don't remember the specific times.
Okay. And so this the time that you spent with Lori and JJ on September 18th, you were given a lot of information about JJ so you could take care of him long term for like the next several months or a year. Was there talk about that?
There wasn't specific talk about long term, like a year, but I was, yeah, expecting at least the next several months to be able to work.
And so you weren't planning on leaving town, you weren't graduating and leaving town right then that semester?
No, not for a couple years.
Okay. So with your talking with Lori, she was giving you information so that you could plan on how to take care of JJ long term.
Yes.
And with your knowledge of JJ's special needs, you agreed to that.
Yes, I did.
Lori didn't give you any indication, did she, that, hey, I'm just hiring you for this week and then never again?
No, she didn't.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Any redirect, Mr. Wood?
No, Your Honor, and this witness may be released from her subpoena.
All right. Any objection to the witness being released?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you for your testimony this morning. You can be excused. The bailiffs will help you out of the courtroom. The state can call its next witness.
Thank you. The state would call Josh Wilson.
And, Your Honor, Spencer Rammel for the state.
All right, before we get started with direct, I'll just inquire of the witness here. Have you observed or viewed any trial testimony in this case?
No, no.
Okay, you haven't watched any of the coverage of it where people testified, watched any online videos or listened to any audio, anything like that?
No, Judge.
Okay, thank you for that response. I'll just indicate as you're testifying, please make verbal responses so we keep our record clear, and please try to avoid speaking at the same time as any attorney questioning you. So if you'll keep that in mind, then Mr. Rammel, you can inquire on direct.
Thank you, Your Honor. Dr. Wilson, can I have you state your full name and spell your last name for the record, please?
David Joshua Wilson, W-I-L-S-O-N.
And you go by Josh?
Correct.
Dr. Wilson, what is your current occupation?
I'm the principal at Kennedy Elementary in Rexburg, Idaho.
And how long have you been the principal at Kennedy Elementary?
For 4 years now.
Were you employed in that capacity in September of 2019?
Yes.
Dr. Wilson, as a part of your employment, do you oversee and have access to records involving students?
Yes.
Does this include weekly attendance records?
Yes.
Record of correspondence between parents of students and school employees?
Yes.
Did you review and provide documentation to law enforcement of a former student of Kennedy Elementary by the name of Joshua Jackson Vallo or JJ Vallo?
I did.
Was he a student at Kennedy Elementary?
Yes.
Who was listed as a parent for JJ Vallo?
Lori Vallo.
Do you recall the dates when he was enrolled in the school?
September 3rd of 2019 through September 24th of 2019.
So we just talked about enrollment. Do you recall the last day he was physically present at the school?
If I remember correctly, that was the Friday, the 20th of September.
Did the school receive correspondence from Lori Vallo regarding his continued attendance at the school?
Yes.
Do you recall when that correspondence was received?
Around the 24th of September.
Okay. And do you recall the contents of that email?
Yes.
What were they?
She had indicated that that they were removing JJ from school, from Kennedy, and were sending him to Louisiana to be with grandparents.
And did you follow up with Ms. Vallo that day?
I did.
How did you do so?
I called her on the phone.
And do you recall what she said, if anything?
Yes. The conversation was that as soon as they got him enrolled in a school in Louisiana, that just have that school contact our school, and we would be happy to forward any records that we had on file to that school. She then indicated that they weren't going to enroll him in a school, that they were going to, in fact, homeschool, that there was a cousin with similar needs as JJ, and that so they weren't going to enroll in a school. And so I informed Ms. Vallo that whenever she re-enrolls him back into public school, just let us know. We would house the records and are available at any time that she needed.
Dr. Wilson, after that point, did any other school in Louisiana or otherwise request records of JJ Vallo?
No.
And again, you testified that this conversation was on September 24th, 2019.
Yes.
Was J.J. Vallo present at school that day?
No.
The day prior, September 23rd, 2019, was he present at school that day?
No.
And was that day a Monday?
I believe so, yes.
So just to be clear, the last day that J.J. Vallo was physically present at Kennedy School or Kennedy Elementary School in Rexburg, Idaho, was September 20th of 2019.
Correct.
Judge, that's all I have for this witness.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rammel. Cross-examination, Mr. Archibald.
It's Dr. Wilson?
Yes.
Okay. Were you present during the enrollment of JJ?
Yes.
And you remember meeting him?
Yes.
And did you have a program for special needs children?
We have, yes, we do.
And you receive special funding for special needs children? Is that right?
Yes.
And so when you met JJ and Lori, enrolling him, was there ever any discussion, I just want to enroll him for 3 weeks and then I'm going to withdraw him?
No.
The discussion was enrolling him long term.
Correct.
That, a term, a semester, a year. Do you remember how long she was planning to have him there?
No, it was my understanding that they were enrolling and then going to be there for the long term.
Okay. And so when she, when you learned 3 weeks later that she was unenrolling him, did that surprise you?
Yes.
Okay. Because that was not what was initially talked about on September 3rd, 2019.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Judge, nothing based on that.
All right. With no redirect, then, that will conclude your testimony, Dr. Wilson. Any objection to him being excused or released from any subpoena?
None from the state, Your Honor.
Any objection from the defense?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Thanks for your testimony this morning. You can be escorted out of the courtroom by the bailiffs. Do you have another witness to call at this time?
Yes, Your Honor. The state would call Wynn Hill.
Sworn now, before we commence with direct examination, I just have a few witness or a few questions for you. Did you review any of the trial testimony prior to coming in this morning?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you haven't watched anything about coverage of the case involving any testimony of any other witnesses?
No.
Okay. With that in mind, then, I'll just ask that as you're answering questions, please talk right into that microphone so we make sure to pick your voice up. Please make verbal responses to any questions so we have a clear record and try to avoid talking at the same time as any attorney that's questioning you. So with that in mind, Mr. Rammel, if you'd like to commence with your direct examination, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Hill, can I have you state your name, spell your last name for the record, please?
Yeah, my name is Wynn Hill, H-I-L-L.
Mr. Hill, where are you employed?
I'm employed at Brigham Young University, Idaho.
And how long have you worked at BYU-Idaho?
Nearly 17 years.
And can you tell the jury where BYU-Idaho is located?
Rexburg, Idaho.
Mr. Hill, what is your current role at BYU-Idaho?
I'm the Dean of Students at BYU-Idaho.
Does BYU-Idaho use a student management system?
We do.
Are you familiar with its student management system?
Yeah, very familiar.
How so?
Well, I'm in the student life area, and in student life we have a management system that keeps track of our students, and it's connected to the larger school system as well.
And what information does your student management system hold?
Oh, everything, but things like application information, student directory information, educational records.
And Mr. Hill, does your system allow you to look up current students attending BYU-Idaho?
It does.
Does your system allow you to look up past students that have previously attended BYU-Idaho?
Yes.
Does your system allow you to look up individuals who have applied but are not yet attending or have been admitted to BYU-Idaho?
Yes.
Did you check your student management system for a specific individual at the request of the Rexburg Police Department?
I did.
And was that in relation to a missing persons investigation?
Yes.
Who was that check for?
They asked me to check for Tylee Ryan, Tylee Cox, Tylee Ballos, date of birth of 9/24/02.
And do you recall when you did that check?
Yeah, it was February 28th of 2020.
And Mr. Hill, what was the result of that check?
Yeah, there was no indication of any application started or any information on it, any of those names.
So, Mr. Hill, to be clear for the jury, Tylee Ryan, date of birth, 9/24/2002, has never applied to BYU-Idaho and has never been a student at BYU-Idaho?
Correct.
Judge, that's all I have for this witness.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Rammel. Any cross-examination?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That will conclude the testimony of this witness then.
And, Your Honor, may this witness be released from his subpoena?
Yes. Any objection from the defense?
No objection.
Thank you, Judge.
All right. Thanks for your testimony this morning. The bailiff will ask you out. Could I have a brief sidebar with counsel?
Yes, Your Honor. I was just going to request that. Thank you.
All right, we just held a brief sidebar to discuss the morning's schedule. The witnesses have been moved through pretty quickly this morning. There's another witness that's not quite here on the way, and we've also got a matter that needs to be taken up outside the presence of the jury. So for those reasons, a little earlier than normal, we are going to take our mid-morning break at this time. And then once we've concluded with that other issue and the witnesses arrived, then we will recommence with testimony of the state's next witness. So if all would please rise for the jury, we'll take the afternoon or morning break. Thank you.
All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, thank you. We're going back on the record on case CR 22-211624. We are in the mid-morning break. The jurors are not present at this time. I understand the state's got its next witness to call. It was brought to the court's attention that there may have been an issue with the exclusionary rule as it relates to this witness. I thought that was an issue that needed to be determined outside of the presence of the jury. So, Ms. Smith, first of all, is the next witness you're calling the witness that may have had an issue with that?
Yes, Your Honor, it's David Warwick.
Okay. My suggestion then is if you'd like to call the witness, we'll have the witness sworn, and then we'll go into the issue of whether or not the exclusionary rule's been violated in the case, and if so, what would be an appropriate response. I'll allow the defense to comment on that as well. So if you'd like to have your witness brought in and sworn, we can take it up in that approach.
Thank you, Your Honor. He's in the witness room.
All right. Thank you. All right, Mr. Warwick, you've been sworn in this case and placed under oath. Before your testimony commences in front of the jury, there's an issue we need to take up. The court has previously issued an exclusionary rule in this case under Idaho Rule of Evidence 615, and the state, in good faith, I'll indicate, has brought to the court's attention there may have been some issue with that, so I'm going to permit some inquiry into that issue, allowing the state and the defense to lay a record of what may have occurred, and then the court will consider what should be an appropriate response after I've heard that testimony. So, Ms. Smith, without going into trial testimony, obviously, just on the issue of the court's exclusionary rule, if you'd like to inquire, I'll have you inquire, and then I'll allow cross from the defense, but only limited in scope as to whether or not the exclusionary rule is at issue in this case. So, Ms. Smith, with that in mind, you may ask your witness questions.
Thank you. Good morning. Good
morning.
Okay. And are you having any trouble hearing me?
No.
Okay. If at any time you have trouble hearing any of us, just let us know, okay?
Okay.
Please state your name and spell your last name for the court reporter.
David Dale Warwick, W-A-R-W-I-C-K.
Okay. And Mr. Warwick, are you married?
Yes.
And who are you married to?
Melanie Gibb.
Okay. How long have you guys been married?
About 2.25 years.
Okay. Do you remember when you got married?
December 12th. Sorry, 2021.
Okay. And have you testified in this proceeding before?
Yes.
Okay. And when I say this proceeding, in this case involving Ms. Vallo before?
I don't think on this one, no.
Okay. On a previous case involving Ms. Vallo?
I thought those were with Chad.
Okay.
I don't remember seeing Chad, so I did this twice, and I saw Chad.
Okay. And then did you testify at a grand jury as well?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you were given information from the prosecution staff about that the court has said you cannot view trial listen to trial testimony, right?
Right.
And you were given instructions that you can't discuss people's trial testimony with them.
Right.
All right. Did there come a situation where you listened to someone's trial testimony?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that, please?
Yes. I came down with an illness about 2 weeks ago, and Melanie didn't want to be alone up here. When she came to court, and I couldn't make it that day, so I was going to drive a couple of days later, but she ended up coming sooner. Anyway, so we stopped talking. She got here for one and two. She was a little upset with me for not coming. And so I listened to 45 minutes of hers, but I was doing it to see how she was doing. And then 45 minutes into it, I remembered, and I shut it off.
Okay.
So I was just concerned for her and just seeing how she was doing, and I didn't have my presence of mind because I was playing Aquaman, frankly. I was breathing water, and it's just lost my presence of mind.
Okay, because you've been sick and you're on medication.
So. I just got on antibiotics 2 days ago just so that I can come because I was not getting better.
Okay, so you understand that you were instructed not to do that, right?
Yes, and that's why I shut it off. I remembered, I listened to the first 45 minutes, and then I remembered, and I just shut it off.
Okay. Now, had you previously talked about this situation with your wife?
No, we haven't talked anything about the case. She lives in Arizona. I live in Utah.
Okay.
We have a distant relationship right now due to family needs. And so I knew she needed some time, so I just left her alone.
Okay.
And
Is anything you listened to, did it affect you, what you're going to say in this trial at all?
No.
Okay. Did anything you heard from her testimony, anything, the way she was treated, anything about that going to affect your ability to be truthful and candid in questioning?
No.
Any way it's going to affect what you have to say to this jury?
Not at all.
At this point, the state has nothing further, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Smith, for the inquiry. Either Mr. Thomas or Mr. Archibald, would you like to question the witness in regards to the issue of, again, narrow it to the scope of just the exclusionary rule, please?
That wraps up segment number one in our continuous coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow-Daybell. There is much more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow-Daybell
from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.